Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through chapter 4, verse 7. Let us hear the word of God. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And then reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, even this day you have poured out your mercies unto us. You have provided us with the bread of the earth. And in just a few minutes, you will feed us again with the bread of the earth. And we thank you. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask that we be fed with the bread of heaven, that you would feed us with your word, that you would let the manna fall, Heavenly Father, that we may feed upon Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. What is your relationship to God? What is your relationship to God? Well, some may say that because God is the creator and we are just mere creatures, that therefore we owe him our worship and praise and adoration. That's true. And being reminded that we are mere creatures goes a long way in being humble before God. Now, others may say that because Christ is king, therefore we are his servants. Well, this is true too. The scriptures talk about Christ being king, God being the ruler of all of creation, and therefore we are to serve him. This is also true. And being reminded that we are servants of the living God goes a long way in keeping us humble. But what I want to know is, what is the best description of our relationship to the holy and living God? Well, according to the Bible, those who have repented of their sins and have put their faith in Jesus Christ, their relationship now to God is like the relationship of a father to his child. We have been adopted into the family of God. We have become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have been given the spirit of adoption by which we call and cry, Abba, Father. As y'all know, I have two sons, and it is always a thrill for me to hear them say, Dad or Daddy. They do so because of a relationship I have with them. The relationship of a father to his child. And so it is with our relationship to God. There are several key passages in the New Testament that reveal us being adopted into the family of God, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Our passage this morning from Galatians: "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." You see, if we fully understand our privileges and our rights and our blessings that we have, it will change our life. Though it is true that we are still sinners in the hands of a holy God, and it is still true that we are mere creatures, and it is still true that we are servants of the living God. What should dominate our thinking, though, is that we are the children of God. We are the sons and the daughters of the living God. As the Apostle John, when he thinks about this, his mind is just blown, and he says, "What manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of God. What manner of love is this? That we who are sinners, that we who are mere creatures, that we who are servants are now called the children of God. We're sinful. We're nothing but dust. Yet now we have been elevated to the royal family. Like an orphaned pauper who's been banished in the streets and has no privileges and no food and no way to keep himself clean. Yet the king takes him into the family, gives him the royal blessings. Just like that, we have been brought into the kingdom of God. We have been decorated. We have been decorated with the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are the children of the living God. Brothers and sisters, now sons and daughters." Now, why is this important that you must keep this before you? Well, here's the practical aspect. Our thinking about who we are, our self-image, our self-worth, the purpose for worship, purpose of prayer, purpose of church, the purpose for every aspect of your life is given definition by you being the sons and daughters of God. Suppose you're reading a book and you come to a word that you don't understand. So what do? You go to the dictionary. We still have dictionaries today, don't we? It's probably on your phone, but you go to the dictionary. And there in the dictionary, a definition is given to that word so that you can understand it. My friend, definition has been given to your life. You are the sons and the daughters of the holy and living God. All of your life experiences, everything, the good, the bad, all of those experiences are now given definition by you being the child of God. Listen to what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He traces all of life, every aspect of life, from its origin to the actual working the practical outworking of its goal, to the praise and the glory of God in bringing many sons and daughters into the kingdom. Listen to what Paul writes. God chose us. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. You have been chosen to be holy and blameless. That the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness that Jesus earned, is now being given to your credit. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us, listen, to be adopted as His children through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. Before the world was created, from all eternity, God chose you. And everything that is to happen in history and will happen in history, God chose you to be His son and His daughter through Jesus Christ. Like an earthly father has compassion on his children. And so the earthly father then tries to plan out things for the children's lives. Our heavenly Father has had compassion on us. And from the beginning of time, He has planned out everything that happens to you for His glory and to your good. Some of those things are really good. Some of those experiences are quite painful and sorrowful. But in all things, God is working to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He will also glorify. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And Paul goes on there in Romans with the application. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Thus, no matter what we encounter in life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we can never be separated from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. You see, mature Christian thinking will define everything that happens to us through the family of God. We will define, it will give us definition that what happens in our life is happening to us because we are the children of God. Why do you suppose that Jesus says, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you shall wear? Why do you think He says that? Well, one, He knows that our tendency is to worry, correct? But also, He can say that because He knows that our life is kept safe in the hands of the Father. You do a survey of the four Gospels, and you know what you're going to find that Jesus says more than anything else? What Jesus says more than anything else is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Man, I need to hear that because there are times that I'm afraid. But Jesus tells us not to be afraid because we're sons and daughters of the King. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But the reality is that we are. Jesus goes on to say, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. If the Father feeds the birds of the air, if He clothes the lilies of the field, how much more will He provide for His children? If a sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father, And if even a hair from your head doesn't fall apart from the will of the Father. Why then do we worry? Why are we afraid of the things of the world? From all eternity, God has set His love upon you. And as a father has compassion upon his children, so from all eternity, God has designed that each day's activities, your activities every day, are designed to work to your good and to the glory of God. Your self-image, your self-identity, your self-worth, it is inseparably connected to the fact that God is your Father through Jesus Christ. And the more that you come to understand your adoption by God, then the more confident and at peace you will be when things of the world throw you a curve. Now that's the first thing we need to learn. The second thing is that because I am God's child, I'm not a single child, but I'm a member of a family. I belong to others. Others belong to me. I belong to you. You belong to me. I will live with God forever, but I'm also going to live with you forever. You know, in our culture is so self-oriented. It is self-oriented. So therefore, we have a tendency to focus on my relationship to God. Well, I do have a relationship to God. But guess what? We all have that same relationship to God. It is not only my relationship, it is our relationship. The truth of the matter is that we are one, yet at the same time we are many. We are united, yet we're all distinct. What affects one person affects us all. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray, "My Father," He teaches us to pray what? "Our Father." In the passage there in Galatians, Paul makes it a point to say, "You are all sons of God." Now he's addressing a group of people. People that are male and female, Greek and Jews, slave and free. People from all different backgrounds, quite a diversity of people there in the church. And he says, you're all one. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to connect New Testament believers with the same family as the Old Testament believers. He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs with Abraham according to the promise. So you see, we're not only one here and one with all the Christians that are alive, but we're also united to all the Christians that have gone before us. When we take communion, communion signifies our oneness with Christ, but also oneness of the church. In Hebrews chapter 2, the apostle links the incarnation of Christ to the forming of a family made up both of New Testament and Old Testament believers. He says, for the reason of helping Abraham's descendants, that's you, Christ had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. The apostle to the Hebrews, he explicitly connects the reason that God became a man, that the second person of the Trinity became a man. He took upon himself flesh and blood, was to form a family. He says, the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. We're a family. Why did the second person of the Trinity become a man? Once again, it was to adopt people and bring them into his family. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We're a family. We are one together. We all have the same relationship to God. We have that same relationship to God as the Old Testament believers. All God's children, brothers and sisters, are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we didn't choose to be born into a certain family, did we? We didn't choose our earthly family. And we don't choose our heavenly family. God has chosen that for us. But he's chosen them for us to his glory and for our good. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, talks about the church as being a body. You know, that we're not all ears and eyes and nose, but the ears and eyes and nose, they all need one another. We need one another. I am yours, you are mine. You are each other's. Like the ear and the eye and the nose and the mouth and the feet and the legs and the arms and the fingers are all part of the same body. And they're all important. So it is with us. So it is with the church. We are all important. We all have our role. You are vital to the spiritual health of other Christians. Thus, all of your life experience, the good, the bad, the difficult, the happy, the sad, the joy, the sorrow, it is given definition, it is given purpose and meaning as you understand first that we are the children of God. We cannot be separated from him. He is working to our good. And that second, God has placed you in a family called the church. And my friend, I'll just be honest with you. You cannot accurately understand your life if you don't understand those two aspects. That you are the child of God, you're safe. You're safe. And you've been given a spiritual family to help watch over you and minister to you. I could go pew by pew here and talk about the struggles that you have . And the good thing about having a church family is we know our struggles. I mean, you know mine, I know yours, you know theirs. And so we pray for one another. But in all of those struggles and disappointments, we're safe. We're safe. Because we are the children of the living God. It is because God is one and many. God is one and many. One
divine essence, three persons in that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is because God is one in many. It is because God is unified yet distinct that the church is one yet many. We are unified together, yet we are all distinct. And it is because Christ has brothered us that we need to brother one another. Too often times we don't brother one another. We might bother one another, but we need to brother one another. Because you got to put up with me for eternity. Oh, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. The peacemakers. The brothers and sisters of Christ that seek to make peace with brothers and sisters in Christ. The children of the devil, they seek to sow seeds of discourse and hatred. But the children of God, they sow the seeds of peacefulness. The children of God, they will show the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. They will be people who promote love and joy and peace. Why? Because they're the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you that through Christ you have adopted us into your family. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that every aspect of our life is under your control. The good and the bad, the happy and the sad, it's all under your control. And we know that we are safe. We know that we are loved by you. We know that we can never be separated from your love to us in and through Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. Oh, Father God, remind us again and again and again of your love to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning as we sing a hymn of response. Hymn number 691. 691. 691. It is well.